Good to see you this morning. Thanks to Pastor Matt, who preached last week for me. So thank you, sir. Great job. This week, I am going to be speaking to you about this whole idea, this concept of giving. And like I said in the email this week, no, we're not in any kind of financial trouble here at the church. This is not in any way, shape, or form a plea to try to get anybody to give. This is about maybe for some educating, maybe for some reminding, but this is about us to consider God's view and to reiterate the fact that we want to be a generous church. It's one of our core values. So if you've been around the church for any length of time, you probably have heard the phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. And we usually quote that right before we want you to be cheerful. Today, we're going to look at this verse and some verses around it as we spend some time dealing with this subject of giving. So over the years, I've been to various churches, and you probably have too, and they have approached giving in all different kinds of ways and directions. Some churches talk about money all the time, right? Like the talk before the offering is longer than the sermon, or some churches don't talk about giving at all. They just leave a box by the door, and you drop your offering in on the way out, because they don't want to put pressure on anybody, or they don't want to give the impression that they're all about money, right? But most churches fall somewhere in the middle of all that. Here at our church, I'll do a series on giving every year, or generosity, or we'll hit it a couple of times during the year. And I do that because giving is an important part of the Christian life. And so this year I'm going to do this message, and again it'll come up in the Philippians series a little bit later in the year. And the point is for us to grow in this area, not only for your benefit or not only for the benefit of others, but most importantly for the glory of God. And in addition to that, I'm also getting us ready to think about our next phase of our building project. So let me give you a quick update on where we're at and where we are headed. The plan is to start another capital campaign this fall, begin construction on phase two in early 2024. So it's a pretty exciting stuff. And if anybody is wondering, if you're interested, we are projecting that by August, the current loan on the facility that we're sitting in this morning will be paid off. Okay, so yeah, go ahead. Praise God, right? God is an awesome God. And so we, our God paid this off in 3 years of our 15-year loan. And so as we get started on this next phase, we're just going to do that, and we're going to give God the glory. All right, when I talk about giving, I notice a few things about the comments that I usually hear from people. Like a lot of time I'll hear that people just feel guilty about what they give, or they might feel like they can give more if their financial priorities were a little bit different. And then thirdly, most people will give more, and they'll do it gladly if they know that their giving has a purpose or makes a difference. And I don't want anybody to leave here today feeling guilty about what you give. Instead, I pray that the message will clear up maybe any doubts, any questions, any reservations that you might have about giving. I pray that you will be inspired to become more generous in your walk with God. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 8:7, but as you excel in everything, and in faith, and in speech, and knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Now, for the fourth time since the beginning of the chapter 8, Paul refers to giving money as grace, the grace of God, the complete this grace, excel in the grace or the act of grace. And the word that he is using there for grace is actually talking about financial giving. And so today we're going to look at what it means to excel in the grace of giving. We're going to focus on three things: how to give, why to give, what to give. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul gives us some detailed instructions to the Corinthian church on how to prepare the special election for the Christians in Jerusalem. And they did not have a lot, and they faced a lot of persecution. And in these verses, Paul shows us three attitudes that should drive our efforts in giving. First of all, Paul says, go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me as well. Excel in the grace of giving. Number one, how to give. First, he says, we are to give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now here's the situation. A farmer sowing seed may feel like he loses some seeds as it falls from his hand to the ground. And we may feel like we're losing when we give, but just as the farmer gives the seed in anticipation of a future harvest, we too should give with the same heart. Well, what do we reap when we give? Well, we reap blessings that I think both are material and spiritual. Materially, we can trust that God will provide for our needs. Right? It's a promise of Philippians 4:19, may God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the promise is made in the context of generous hearts of the Philippians, as we read in those verses before verse 19 there. And then spiritually, we can trust that God will reward the giving heart both now and in eternity. Jesus spoke about this, Matthew 19, verse 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Now, Jesus obviously did not mean that we would receive like 100 houses if we gave up our house for him, right? That's not what he's driving at. The verse is talking about sacrificing. It's about the fact that we are never losers when we give to God. Jesus is never in debt to anyone. And we should never be afraid of giving like too much, right? The principle here is that you cannot outgive God. Well, let me just give you some other verses and that kind of support this idea. Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. He goes on in verse 25 to say this: whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters himself will be watered. And the principle that you can count on to be true is that we cannot outgive God. And yet there is this paradox. When you make it your lifestyle to give generously, you get to the point where you don't even want the anticipation of return, right? You give because you're looking, or you're not giving because you're looking to be blessed and refreshed, but rather you give because it's good to give. You give because it's right to give, because it pleases God when you give. In 2008, there was a writer named A.J. Jacobs who went on this challenge to spend an entire year living biblically. And this writer was agnostic, right? So according to the hundreds of commands found in the Bible, he specifically wanted to live by these Old Testament principles. And so things like not shaving your beard and not eating pork and not mixing wool and cotton. And his purpose was not to mock religion, but try to experience it, so to speak. So, of course, one of the biblical Old Testament commands is to give what? 10% of your income. And that was something that he had never done. And he wasn't a member of a church. And so he decided to give to several charitable organizations online. Here's how he described it. He said, when the confirmation emails pinged in, I feel good. There's a haunting line from the film Chariots of Fire. It is spoken by Eric Liddell, the most religious runner, the one who carries the Bible with him during his sprint. He says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And as I gave away money, I think I might have felt God's pleasure. He says, I know I'm agnostic, but still, I feel his pleasure. It's a warm ember that starts from the back of my neck, spreads through the skull. I feel like I'm doing something I should have been doing all my life. Now, I'm not sure about that part, right? About all this feeling God's pleasure thing. I just thought it was interesting coming from someone who's not a believer. And here's what we do know. In the preceding chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul commends the church of Macedonia for their generosity. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 through 4 says, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and I can testify far beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Just a great example here of people being generous for the sake of being generous. There's just something about giving that draws us to God. And when you give, you feel that, right? And that's why Paul says to give generously. And then he also says to give thoughtfully. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And here's the point that giving is for everyone. Every Christian should be a giver, right? Doesn't matter if you give little or a lot. It's just important that you give and you give with the right kind of heart. I can't think of any other command in Scripture where the guideline is each one must give as he's decided in his heart, right? It's not like each one of us can decide how often we're going to tell the truth, right? Bible doesn't say that. Or we don't get to decide how often we should love our neighbor, right? Or be faithful to our spouse or refrain from stealing or whatever, right? Those things are absolute with no flexibility. Subject of giving is different. It's personal. It's between you and God. It's something you decide in your heart. And you should not be compelled or forced to give, which is super important when it comes to our capital campaign that we're going to start. Same principles apply. What you give to the building phase two is, first of all, between you and God. And then secondly, I want you to pray, and I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict your heart and then go from there. When Paul says we're to give what you've decided in your heart to give, I also believe he's saying that we should give deliberate and systematic and not based on a whim. In other words, we just don't give when we feel like it. We give because we've determined the right amount to give. And we give independent of how we feel when the moment comes to give. Paul wrote this, first letter of Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, and he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. I think he's talking about just developing a systematic habit of giving. He's talking about figuring it out ahead of time so that you can resist any manipulation to give. And then the third thing is to give cheerfully. Second part of verse 7 and chapter 9 there, for God loves a cheerful giver. People have said to me over the years when it comes to giving, very like they're joking around, but they'll say this. They'll say, I can give generously or cheerfully, but not both. Right? Now, I get it. They're joking. But I really do think some people kind of have that attitude, right? They don't give with an attitude of joy, right? An opportunity to be a blessing in the lives of other people. They give with this attitude sometimes like God owes them something. It's just not cheerful. We should be thinking about how our gifts are a blessing to God. How they're helping others. Or not a blessing. That's not right. Pleasing. How it has helped each, or how it has helped us to reach our community. So we give generously, thoughtfully, cheerfully. Secondly, why we give? What are the reasons for giving? Well, there are three, probably a lot more, but I'm going to give you three this morning. One is we give out of gratitude to God. Psalms 116, verse 12, what should I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Right? Gratitude drove the psalmist to consider what return he could make to God as he generously shared his benefits. And when you put that in that kind of light, and you start to think about what God has done for each of us, I really believe it drives us to obedience, and in this case, to give back a portion of what God has given to us. Another reason to give is you give because you can. Paul said, as for the rich in this present age, charge them. Let's stop right there for a second, and let's ask the question, who is he talking to? Well, I think he's talking to us, right? Now, I realize we're not rich by the standards of, like, the sports industry, right? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say nobody here is probably making $50 million a year. Anybody? If you are, I want to talk to you. Right? No, by the standards of the entertainment industry, right? Or the financial industry. But we are rich according to global standards. So what is Paul saying to you and me? 1 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. There to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. It's one of the things I really like about our parking lot sale. It gives us as a church an opportunity to give, right? We go through all the things that we're not using at our homes that are still good and operational, and we bring them to the church. And we do that because there's people in our community, they come every year, and they don't have some of those things. And we have an opportunity to bless them. And a lot of times we just give a lot of stuff away. John the Baptist said, a man with two tunics should share with him who has none. What's he saying? We're only allowed one shirt? No. What he's saying is we should be willing to prune our excess possessions in order to help those in need. So we give because we have something to give. A third reason is we give as an act of faith. There are times in our lives where we give out of faith. It's a step of faith to trust God to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse and there might be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. For I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Couple of quick thoughts here. We probably all know that verse. Most of us know it well. But one, the tithe is to be brought to the storehouse, or for us, it's the church, right? It's to support the ministry. So we bring that to the storehouse. And then secondly, God says, test me in this. He says, test me. See if you can outgive me. And so we give to demonstrate gratitude, to demonstrate compassion, and to demonstrate faith. Now look at number three this morning, what to give. It's a big question, like how much do we give, right? Is there like a magic number? Well, according to church development, 5% of churchgoers tithe. And I get that for a lot of people, their charitable gifts aren't limited to the local church. Right, but the average American gives about 6.5% of their income to charitable causes. The Old Testament teaches the concept of tithing, which is simply explained without going into a lot of detail, is 10% to the Lord. And for some, I think that's a great place to start, and then it goes from there. For others, it's a great place to aim for. It's a good target. But at the same time, I refer back to the first part of the message today, right? Each one of us must give what he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So with that in mind, here are a couple of ideas that might help you grow in the grace of giving. So first of all, start putting a plan together. right? Take a look at your finances, look at what you're currently giving, and ask yourself, right, can I do more? Can I increase my giving? Maybe it's just like 1%, or maybe it's a 0.5%. Are there some areas of excess where I can trim? Are there unnecessary expenses I can eliminate? What can I change in order to adopt a more generous lifestyle? Right? And I say that because I think people get hung up on the numbers. They think that their giving doesn't matter because maybe they give a small amount. I don't know. But listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. What's super important is that you're willing and ready to give what you can right now. And if you give now, and what you know in your heart you can give, then I truly believe that I think God's okay with that. And then secondly, build some sacrifice into the plan. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here the writer of Hebrews is telling us to offer sacrifices of praise and worship. But he doesn't stop there, right? He goes on to say not to neglect the doing of good and to share what you have. When writing about how much a Christian should give, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. If our charities do not pinch or hamper us, he says they're too small. And the point is that he's making is that we should give till it hurts a little bit. And so the challenge is to think through the question of what am I willing to sacrifice in order to become a giver? And I think it's reasonable if this is not a concept that you're used to start small at first. It's an area where you can grow. Look for places to build sacrifice in your life. And then there's a third thing that will help you grow in the grace of giving, and that's to stretch your soul every chance you get. Acts 20:35, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I came across this story this past week of a boy who went with his father to the blacksmith shop to pick up a rake and a hoe and that had been repaired. And when the dad tried to pay the bill, the blacksmith refused to take the money. He was like, it was a little job, no big deal, don't worry about it. You know, just go ahead and take it. And the father continued to insist that he pay something for it. And the blacksmith said this. He said, can't you give a man to do something now and then just to stretch his soul? And I thought, that's the heart of the grace of giving, right? You stretch your soul by showing generosity to others. And it might just be just a little thing. It might just be to give a guy a break on a bill or pick up somebody's lunch or take him out to coffee. Give a little extra amount to someone who needs it. Those are the unplanned acts of kindness that what stretch your soul. They help you grow in the grace of giving. And so today I want to challenge us to look for an opportunity that you might have to stretch just a little bit and to bless somebody. It's been said there are three types of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of a flint, you got to pound it with a hammer, and then you only get chips and sparks. To get any water out of a sponge, you squeeze it, and eventually you squeeze it dry. But the honeycomb overflows with its own sweetness, and it gives, and it keeps on giving. See, that's the kind of giver that God's calling us to be: generous and thoughtful and cheerful, thankful and faithful, committed and sacrificial. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. God, my heart this morning, and we just want to thank you and give you praise that this body of believers this morning and how generous they are. And God, we're so blessed by that. And so we give you praise for that. We give you thanks for that. And then, Father, my prayer this morning is that sometime this week, you would put in our path somebody that we could show generosity to. So that we can give.